I think the political and social chaos we are seeing on every side reflects an underlying biologic crisis. End of the human line. All species are doomed from conception, like all individuals. Evolution did not come to a reverent halt with Homo sapiens. Fellow reptiles, I do not hesitate to tell you that we face grave problems. I do not hesitate to tell you that we have the answer. Size is the answer. Increase size. There are those who say size is not the answer. There are those who even propose that we pollute our pure reptilian strain with mammalian amalgamations and crossbreeding. And I say to you that if the only way I could survive was by mating with egg-eating rats, then I would choose not to.
You knew that sooner or later we would get around to the reptiles, right?
Right.
How did this reptile connection come into your work, and why has it been the focus of so much attention?
Well, for two reasons, the focus of attention. One, it is so bizarre to condition reality, and two, on some subconscious level, a lot of people resonate with it because they have had experience of it. They may not remember that, but because we're multidimensional consciousness and we've experienced many, many things on a subconscious level, people resonate with it because they've had experience of it. They know it's true, but they can't remember why. A number of people have said to me, what you say about this stuff, it should be ridiculous, but I just feel that there's something in it, and this is what I'm talking about. How it came into my work is like everything else comes into my work. It was where the information went. Back in about 97, I think it was, 97, 98, when I was preparing a book called The Biggest Secret, I suddenly, again, we're back to the Green Party story in so many ways, in the way my life works. I was in Arizona, first of all, and I was talking and researching around there and what have you. And suddenly, in a period of about, 2 weeks, I met 12 separate people, first of all in Arizona and then in other parts of the world, up in California and other places, who told me basically the same story, that they had seen people, often in positions of power, but not always, change in front of their eyes from a human to a reptilian figure, and that this was in their conscious awareness. Now, right. When you get into what we've been talking about the nature of reality, and interestingly, I've been reading in the last few days that when something comes in through your eyes, it doesn't go directly to the optic nerve; it goes to your brain and then the optic nerve. Right. And the brain, apparently, according to experiments scientists have done, takes 50% of what goes in out, edits it. So, I mean, what are we looking at?
What are we actually seeing, right?
But you do start to see, when you're dealing with holograms and holographic illusions, how easy it is, how absolutely easy it is for one holographic form to fuse into another one, or for one holographic form, a reptilian, to be hidden behind another one, i.e. human.
Right.
And what happened, Larry, it was quite simply the power of numbers, because from that period I just talked about 2 weeks, I've met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all over the world from every walk of life you could imagine who have seen this phenomenon. And people that I talked about who've been taking part in Illuminati human sacrifice rituals and blood drinking rituals, which they're really into. And by the way, I could just say quickly when I finish this point about one aspect of why they do that. But they've said that they've seen people often in these rituals actually turn into a reptilian And so this constant theme came through. And then I started meeting insiders, people who work for the Illuminati at some level, are now rejecting it. And they're saying, absolutely, these guys are not human, they're reptilians. Well, with this new insight, because it's a journey for all of us, I realized that the reptilians, while they are the next step back from the human manipulation, they too are projections, they too are sentient programs. They're just a different kind. And in the end, the governor is the fabric of the matrix that we're living in, fear. You know, and we are controlled by fear, and we therefore create fear, which empowers the fear that's controlling us. It's just a cycle we need to break. And so the reptilian thing became massive. And I for instance, have met people, one of them in Canada, who is a power-dressing businesswoman. Certainly not someone you would find in Glastonbury or Sedona. Very much in this world. And she came to a talk I did in Canada, and came up to me afterwards, said, I'd like to talk to you. And I met her a couple of days later, and she told me this story. She said that, first of all, she had a relationship with a guy who was Portuguese, and she went to live with him in Portugal and was kept as a virtual prisoner. And she said that this man was like evil, in her words, and so ritualistic that he would only have his clothes washed on the same date every month. And one of the things about the Illuminati and this whole network of manipulation is their obsession with ritualistic behavior.
What do you think that's all about?
It's to do with the reptilian brain. We all have a reptilian aspect to the brain, the R complex.
Right.
And when you look at conventional science, I'm talking about the way that they list the attributes and the characteristics of the reptilian brain. One of them is an obsession with ritualistic behavior. Also, interestingly, the reptilian brain, like the reptile species, communicates through images, not words.
Right.
And well, as my books have pointed out, and others have too, the Illuminati are absolutely obsessed with symbolism and images. They use them all the time. Anyway, what this lady said was that this Portuguese guy she lived with, who treated her in this way, used to shapeshift into a reptilian, and that she had to escape from him in the end. And she came back to Canada and had this relationship with another guy who she said had a dark side and realized it, but was trying to handle it. And they went back to her apartment one night, she said, and I just bought the biggest secret, because the reptilian thing in it, you know, because that's when I first introduced it, that book. And just above the bed in her bedroom was a shelf, she said, and on the shelf, lying on its side rather than in a row with the rest, was the biggest secret. She said, when the guy walked in the bedroom with me, she said he just went absolutely crazy and started shouting at me that what am I reading this rubbish for? You know, throw that away, it's nonsense and all that stuff. And she said, well, what happened then? She told him to calm down, all that stuff, and they started having sex. And suddenly he became very, very violent and very, very angry. And she said, I had my hand on the back of his spine. She said, I know you'll think I'm mad, as if I would think that, you know. She said, but I felt this force pushing against my hand. She said, and I looked at over his shoulder, and he was sprouting a tail. That was what pushing against my hand. She said, and I threw him off and realized that he was manifesting as a reptile. And when she threw him off and screamed, he kind of shifted and morphed back to human, left the house. She'd never seen him again. And you know, people say, well, that's fantastic. Well, when you get into the holographic thing, well, no it's not. But also, there are people in the world today with tails. They call them in the West caudal appendages. When a baby is born with one, they just whip them off at birth, and that's the end of it. But in other parts of the world, where they don't have access to that medical treatment, there are still people. you can manifest how you like merely by thinking it.
Right.
You know, I've just been reading accounts in the last few days of people who've had out-of-body experiences, and they've found themselves floating in this realm in a naked state. And from their own thought, oh, I'm naked, I don't like this, the clothes have manifested on their form merely because their mind has created it. What do they call it in the Matrix? Residual self-image. And so if you just bring that phenomena down, what you think is what you create, down into this denser realm, that's what we're basically doing. It can take longer to go from thought to manifestation because of the density.
Right.
But it's still the same principle.
Okay, so if I can presume to summarize what you're saying, then, is you're saying this whole reptilian connection is, yes, absolutely impossible as long as we're in this frame of mind, as long as we're thinking the way we're thinking now and we're experiencing what we're experiencing now. But if we understand things in terms of the holographic universe and the holographic brain, then
yeah,
these things aren't so far-fetched and aren't so far out.
Absolutely, and they're perfectly explainable. I mean, when you read books from the scientific perspective, open-minded scientists,
right,
who have come to this conclusion that yes, everything is a hologram, and these things become perfectly logical. Never mind explainable; they become logical.
Yeah.
For instance, one of the great manifestations and phenomena of the hologram is that every single element of the hologram contains a picture of the whole hologram. And therefore, every part, because the body is a hologram, every part of the body is a smaller version of the whole body. This is how reflexology works. This is how people that manipulate your ears work. This is how cranial therapy works. They can press and work with different parts of the head, or the ear, or the foot, or if you want to get a big magnifying glass, even down to the little toe and smaller, you can manipulate the organs and the processes of the whole body, because every single part of the body represents the whole body. So in reflexology, they'll be pushing this part of your foot, they'll say this is your heart, or this is your brain, or this is your lungs. And people say, what do you mean? You're the bottom of my foot. No, that is a holographic part of the greater hologram and contains the whole. Therefore, you can heal and affect the whole by playing with the one element of the hologram. I mean,
this is
what all these alternative therapies are.
Can we talk a little bit about your recent work? We're sort of getting short on time here.
Okay.
Specifically with relation to current world events such as the impending war in the Middle East.
Right.
Is there some way that you can tie this into your work? And is any of this predictable? Can you see this coming?
Well, I think if we go back to the reptilian nature of thinking, they are incredibly predictable because they're very ritualistic. And you can pull the whole situation in the world and the agenda down to very, very simple levels because of this ritualistic repeating pattern. First of all, it's important to know the goal, and the goal is the centralized control of everyone on the planet through a world government, a world central bank, a world army, a microchip population, a world currency. And incidentally, the microchip population is the jewel in the crown of this agenda of control, because of the way that once a microchip is inside you, you can be physically, mentally, emotionally, and vibrationally manipulated externally through
right.
the microchip.
Right.
That's what they want. They know this awakening is happening. They place because they're desperate to stop this awakening manifesting and bringing it to an end. Well, I'm afraid, you know, all right, they may know more intellectually than most people about the nature of the way reality can manipulate and all that stuff, but they are disconnected from the infinite completely, otherwise they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Therefore, they are completely in the dark, really, the fact that they're wasting their time. This is happening. Do you think the infinite is going to have a problem with George Bush? So we're in a transformatory period, a transition period, in which those that wish to hold on to the control, through a fear of survival. I mean, this is another element, a key foundation of the reptilian brain, the reptilian mind, is a fear of not surviving.
Right.
If you look at the reptilian species, they are absolute perfect examples of mechanisms to survive, and they equate, therefore, more control of situations with more likelihood of surviving.
Mm-hmm.
They also equate having more than necessary to have a greater chance of surviving, and so you have this situation where the Illuminati have enormous amounts of wealth and what have you, and they want to add to it more and more and control more and more because that gives them a feeling that they are more likely to survive. Basically, the Matrix is fear, therefore its projected representations in this reality must also be projections of fear. This is why these people are completely controlled by fear, and fear of survival is the greatest one, not least because the Matrix itself is in a state of fearing survival. I mean, the fear of survival is real at the heart of understanding the mechanism that is the motivation behind the control. Anyway, they are throwing everything now that they can, and 911 was very much involved in this, to increase the amount of control they have over the people to try to stop this awakening. What they don't realize is it's unstoppable. And so it's a kind of interesting, Larry, at the moment that you have this situation with Iraq, in which they, and by they I mean particularly through Britain and America, who are the real key firers of the bullets of the Illuminati on a global level, these two countries, are desperate. I mean, I think almost anyone can see that. They are desperate to invade Iraq. Absolutely desperate. I see panic in Blair's face here when he's facing all his opposition against it, and they are facing more and more awareness of what's going on. So, in many ways, this Iraq situation is just one manifestation of this transition taking place between those that are controlling, wanting more control, and the awakening, the spiritual alarm clock that is going to remove that control. The one thing to remember, I think, is that desperate people do desperate things, so it's going to be quite an interesting transitional period.
It's certainly going to be an interesting time.
Yeah.
So what's in store next? What are you working on now?
Well, in a few days, I'm going to start a book. It shouldn't take long because it's all coming out of me and everything. Called Tales from the Time Loop, which is about what I learned in these hours and hours of our altered state of consciousness and of this information, but not just that, but also relating it to the everyday world that people live in, and how some unexplainable phenomena are perfectly explainable once you start to see the reality that we're in. Because in the end, Larry, I think, you know, where my whole focus is going is I've written 1,500,000 words in my last five books on the five sense manipulation, how it goes, and who, you know, what's behind it, all that stuff. And there is always a final chapter in which I turn it to another level, because without that, you know, knowing the manipulation without, you know, the spiritual side of it, is you know, it's useful on one level, but not really. What I'm moving now is into that, the last chapter in each book, when I go there, to really, really go there. Because once you realize this world is an illusion, and we are creating it by our beliefs, and we are manifesting this world around us by our own minds, then you start to realize that the way out of here is simply to create another reality, to actually imagine another reality into existence. You know, all right, you don't like war, okay, let's imagine peace. Okay, there's peace. Look, here it is.
No, that's something different.
Yeah, and so, see, this is one of the things, that the key points, I think, to emphasize to a lot of people that are looking at this conspiracy is, look, if you think stockpiling weapons and hanging Henry Kissinger is the way out of here, well, you're just doing exactly what the fabric of the Matrix wants, because you're creating more fear, more conflict. It doesn't care whether Henry Kissinger lives or dies in the end, because it's a projection.
Right.
It'll just project something else. what it fears is the imagination of that which is trapped within it, imagining a world without fear, because at that point, boom, it's gone. Imagining a world of peace, imagining a world of harmony, imagining a world of bliss, imagining a world of abundance rather than scarcity.
Right.
It is within our own consciousness to change this reality. And when we've changed it, and we are, from a prison to a paradise, it won't be a paradise that's real. It will be a paradise that's a creation of our consciousness,
right,
replacing a prison that was a creation of our consciousness. It's so we just have to think this reality out of existence and think a better one into existence. And the fabric of the Matrix knows this, which is why it is constantly conditioning us to believe in its version of reality, which is conflict, division, polarity, etc.
Right. Okay, so by way of conclusion, if you were to offer any recommendations for how to assist people in the quickening that we're all involved in, what would that be?
Don't think no.
Don't think no.
What this voice said to me, it said, actually paraphrasing and just changing slightly one of the phrases in the Matrix movie, it said, "It's not the question that drives you mad, it is asking it." It said, "Do you think the infinite asks questions when it knows all? You are the infinite. No need for questions. Don't ask no." And because in asking the question, you are getting in the way of the answer. You already know the answer.
Right.
It's trusting the intuition, trusting that what you feel intuitively is true, is your truth.
Getting out of your own way. I mean.
Getting out of the head. Mm-hmm. Letting the head serve the heart and help to manifest what the heart desires. By using its intellect within this intellectual world, but not letting the head govern the heart by closing it off when it wants to do something the head is conditioned not to want to do.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's the heart, it's thinking through the heart, feeling through the heart, intuitively feeling through the heart, that is our connection to the infinite, and the head gets in the way of that, and it could serve that reality, but it's conditioned to block that reality. So I want to do this with my life. You've got a mortgage, you've got a cat, you've got a car, you can't do that. What about the family? What about this? What about that? All right, shut down. And it gets in the way. It's getting the head out of the way. And one of the things I feel, you know, people, they want to quieten the mind and get deeper into themselves, and every time they try to quieten the mind gets louder.
Right.
It's not. Don't try to get the mind out of the way. Just feel from the heart, and the mind will get out of the way without any need for you to concentrate on doing it.
Well, I definitely appreciate your being with us here on Tales of Power, and I'd like to share one final thing with you. A Mayan astrologer called me up today and knew that I'd be speaking to you, and told me that you were a blue lunar monkey of the heart. And that you polarize to stabilize the challenge of illusion of the polarity of the one heart, which is interesting. That's pretty much what you just said. Defines that some of us are playing devil's advocate and some of us are messengers of peace. The game of life involving the one heart of all, playing all roles. So,
exactly.
And I definitely appreciate your being with us.
Well, that's that was kind of a bit synchronistic.
It was.
If anyone wants any more information or anything about the books, davidicke.com, you can get them.
Definitely, and I'll pass that on. And one more thing, when are you in North America next, and specifically the West Coast?
I don't know. I'm speaking in Texas on the 12th, but the year is in flux at the moment. I'm speaking in Bermuda, and that's the nearest anything after that, but I will be in America in the second half of the year, definitely.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll keep in touch with me by email, and we'll pass on to people. And if you wouldn't mind, at some point in the future, maybe we can do this again.
Oh, no problem.
I appreciate it very much, David.
All right, Larry.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, mate.
Take care.
Bye.